Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
That's an app.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
51575.
Hello! Welcome to the show!
Hello!
2019 is the Chinese year of the pig. A lot of people brought that up at the beginning of the year to us, and we didn't think much about it, but now we're starting to believe it.
It's created a little bit of buzz, and you never expect it to be a pig. That's kind of been our good luck charm.
Now when we walk through, it's complete pandemonium. Literally people crying. They want to take a picture and pet him so bad.
The Canes broke their own rules and welcomed Hamilton inside.
I think we're relying on that pig more than we'd like to believe.
6-0 now, so we just keep going out. They keep winning. Everybody's happy. I know he loves it. He's getting lots of carrots.
Corrales, near circle, Nordstrom. Centers deflected. They score! Chris Wagner!
Rocky. 4-1.
1-0 Bruins.
Bam. Force.
They score!
Force.
Took the slap pass out in front from Joakim Nordstrom. Stuffed it home. 1-0 Bruins.
Rister deflected. Rask to save. Rebound. Rask. What a stop. And then he stops the second opportunity from Niederreiter. Rask a glove save as Williams got robbed. Looked over his left shoulder again. 3-on-2 the other way for Carolina Hamilton. Centers fired. Rask split across. What a stop. The two-pass stack. He gets him at the far post. Far post. 40's on fire. Krejci left circle. Marchand pulls it to the slot. Backhand. They score! Marchand with a backhand shot. A power play goal. 2-0 Bruins. The horn is going to sound. This game is final. The Boston Bruins have taken a stranglehold on the Eastern Conference final. The Bruins now take a 3-0 lead in this series. They've won 6 consecutive games in the playoffs for the first time since 1978.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. You can watch us on twitch.tv, or you can get the Twitch app on your smartphone and search for the Sports Hub. Last night, a big night for the Boston Bruins. As the pig did not do its job, they rolled it around in a
wheelbarrow, not a wheelbarrow, but a
that was like a wagon,
a little red wagon type deal.
Red wagon, not a wheelbarrow. A wheelbarrow is only three wheels, and it would be very dangerous for the pig. So they rolled that around, and they showed that a lot. A ton of Bruins fans in that building last night, which could not have sat well with the exceptionally passionate Hurricane fans.
I think something was going on in the first period. It sounded to me as if there was fake crowd noise being pumped in, and I wasn't the only one who noticed that. As a matter of fact, there were a bunch of people online that were doing that, that were saying, take a look at the people in the stands. And it was one of those things where it was nonstop, like, screaming and yelling, yet there wouldn't be much in the play going on whatsoever, and the volume didn't die down, and people would just be sitting politely behind the goal, and you would hear people losing their minds. But that ended after the first period, I think maybe because there were enough people who were complaining about it. Somebody said during the national anthem there was a screw-up, and you actually heard the fake crowd noise for a second come on and then get pulled down.
No.
So,
well, I heard a lot of toque in the arena last night.
Yeah, no, that was great because the second and third periods, I mean, it was apparent there were a ton of Bruins fans there.
Yeah, which, again, I normally would not care at all, but given the behavior of the Carolina fans towards myself, I relish in that.
I feel bad. You know, you talked about they rolled around the Hamilton the pig, which how many times have you heard about this stupid pig that's out there? I feel bad that they've turned Jeremy Roenick, who, when he's coming on a show, he's been pretty nice. So as much as we've made fun of him for crying and everything after the Blackhawks deal, they've turned him into Rick Riley. Like, he's now the guy who does, like, the folksy stories about, look at this crazy pig over here. Before the game, if you watch the pregame, it's like, I got to find out about this crazy Carolina barbecue.
Well, you knew that because when we were in Minnesota for the Super Bowl, you went out. You were, like, one of the three people that went out to ice fish.
Yeah, and he was
and
one of the guys.
And they had Jeremy Roenick there with the camera on him.
He had a film crew and everything. It's like, show me about this crazy ice fishing.
He's Willard Scott. He's the new guy about town. He's a folksy fella.
Yeah, he is. And as I said, I think my impression of Jeremy Roenick changed after we started having him on the show a few times. He actually ended up being a pretty funny guy.
No, everyone loves Roenick. Yeah. He was the NHL 94... If you were playing that Genesis, he was the man.
It was 95, right?
No, 94.
It was 94? Was that yep. Okay, was that the one? Make his head bleed.
That's right, it's from Swingers. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, yeah, I kind of feel bad. He's now the guy where they have him do, like, all of the crazy stuff, and he had to interview Hamilton the Pig the other day. I believe the Canadian Network also interviewed Hamilton the Pig, and it's at some point just like, enough. We've heard enough about this stupid pig.
Well, we'll get into it, but that had to be completely demoralizing for the Carolina. I mean,
they couldn't play any better in the first period.
Nope. God, they look good.
Not a chance that they could play better in the first period.
And Tuukka Rask was unbelievable, and that's it. I mean, they can't do anything. That's it. They're not coming back from three down. This is not the Philadelphia... This is not the Philadelphia team from years ago.
You also have to remember when the Bruins blew that lead in 2010. Bruins blew that lead. Krejci got hurt. He broke his wrist. I mean, that if you take a look at the roster that the Bruins had when they blew that 3-0 lead, it wasn't very good.
Was that the series that the glass stanchion fell on his head, on Krejci's head?
I remember that. I don't know if it was that series or not.
I don't know if anyone got hurt when that happened.
I think he did get hurt. Or either his game went to crap after that. He was still playing.
Yeah,
but I remember people pointed at that moment as being he hasn't been the same since the glass stanchion fell on his head.
No, Krejci broke his wrist in a collision in the neutral zone.
Yeah,
during that Philly series, yeah, he was out. And the Bruins, I'll look up the roster when we go to break. But it isn't even close to what the Bees have now.
Well, they had Ryder, which made Zane.
Rice.
Yeah, I'm getting my years mixed up. Apparently, that was 2012 that happened. Yeah. It was a year after they won the Cup.
Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Good game. I'm just wondering if the Carolina Hurricanes are maybe going to, you know, cook up Hamilton the Pig after the Bruins sweep them. If they sweep them, have a nice little barbecue with them.
It's funny because, obviously, that's not going to happen, but every time I see a pig, I imagine it being slaughtered for its meat. That I would it, there's nothing better than a slaughtered pig. And it's apparently very difficult. If you ever read a book about, there's a book that I read about a guy, he worked for the New York Times, and he like interned in all these kitchens, and ultimately he took his scooter and bought a full pig, you know, dead, and he had learned how to slice it up and get the different parts of meat. I guess it's very difficult.
You can see pigs hanging in the window at Chinatown. Like, you can actually buy, like, a pig
right
there to cook on your own.
If you know how to butcher it, there you go. But every time I see a pig, I think, oh, you chop that bastard's head off, and you get there, and you get the bacon. And I don't care for pork chops, but you get the bacon, you get a little ham. I mean, it would only be humane to kill it at this point. You kill it, you eat it. Sustenance.
They should do a folksy like recap. Well, seeing that the curse, you know, or the good luck charm didn't really work, we're just going to eat the sucker now.
I mean, when was the last time you guys had ham? I had it yesterday.
We had what?
Ham.
Oh, ham?
Or bacon, or anything that comes from pork.
Bacon was over the weekend.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're not above it. So if you, it's very difficult, apparently, to butcher a pig. Very difficult. You have to be able to be a craftsman with a knife. But you get a couple of pigs, you bring them home, you take your chances. You know, you have to learn by doing. Let me see. Matt, I think Matt's called in a bunch of days. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, let me tell y'all, man, just keep crapping on Carolina. They're horrible. Y'all are hilarious. They're like the Lynn of the South. It's a big old giant puddle of stupid. And don't think about butchering them pigs. I know what they're doing with them pigs. Now, I moved up here about 10 years ago, but trust me, they're mad because their hockey team is horrible. Their NFL team is underachieving. They got a Cal College quarterback who got lucky when he beat Alabama and then curled up like a warm coil in the Super Bowl. So just feed them the crap. It's on half their menu. I love you guys. Y'all are much better than those morons in the afternoon. Thank you for my call.
Thanks, man. I just love how I call North Carolina the Lynn of the South.
That's brutal.
Oh, man. I mean, he could have really gone deep and said the Everett. All right. What do we have coming up there, Rich?
We got to talk about that game last night and some post-game press conference greatness as well.
All right. We will have all that for you in just...
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
The Sports Hub. For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Recapping what you missed. It's Tutcher and Rich.
Oh, yeah. What happened last night, Rich?
Well, the Hurricanes keep eating that jumbo-sized poop sandwich.
Wagner ridden off the puck, but it stays in. Corrali. Near circle, Nordstrom, centers deflected, they score! Chris Wagner took the slap pass out in front from Joakim Nordstrom, stuffed it home, 1-0 Bruins.
If it wasn't for that one softy that squeaked by Tuukka Rask, they'd be talking about his performance last night as one of the better in recent playoff memory. Tuukka was once again the best player on the ice in the Bruins 2-1 win over the Hurricanes. And now Boston, only one game away from reaching the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 2013.
I don't care about the soft goal. I mean, he survived a 5-on-3. He was
amazing. I'm just saying that if he did not have that, I mean, people would talk about that game last night as one of the best in a long time.
I think people will still talk about that game, at least locally, as one of the best in a real long time.
Well, back to Rask, who, after the Bruins came out of the anthem nearly dead on arrival, Tuukka got pelted with a whopping 20 shots on goal in the first period alone, stopping every single one of them.
Slavin dusts it off. Rister deflected. Rask the save. Rebound. Rask, what a stop. And then he stops a second opportunity from Niederreiter.
Yep, Tuukka finished, no pun intended, stopping 35 of the 36 shots that came his way, including all 11 pucks fired in over 8.5 minutes of 5-on-4 play in favor of Carolina. He also had to deal with, as you're mentioning, Fred, both a 4-on-3 and a 5-on-3 during that time. However, the Bruins' penalty kill was once again perfect, going 5-for-5 on the night. It also helped that the Bruins, on the other hand, had luck with their power play.
And now DeBrusque will gather speed, hands to McAvoy, over the line right side, Krejci, left circle, Marchand, pulls it to the slot, backhand, they score! Marchand with a backhand shot, a power play goal, 2-0 Bruins!
And speaking of power plays, Justin Williams has lost his mind.
What? Yeah. What? You're the captain of the effing team, and you let Torrey Krug bait you in the two penalties?
Was that
three in one period?
Yes, three penalties.
In the first period.
Yes. I mean, we've been talking about how the Bruins are in Dougie Hamilton's head. Dougie's not the captain, and he certainly isn't 37 years old and should know better at this point. But Justin Williams, after on Saturday, or Sunday rather, getting suckered into that penalty by Brad Marchand, just continued to lose his mind last night. That's right, Fred. Three penalties in the opening period alone. And one of the other penalties from the team led to this.
Gets it back. High slot. Krug shoots. They score! It was ripped by Torrey Krug, and it got deflected down inside the near post. And the Bruins may have scored another power play goal to make it 3-1. The officials are conferring.
I think they're calling goalie interference on Jake DeBrusque. DeBrusque getting to the
goal. We have no goal.
Okay, I don't know how you call that interference, but then again, who the hell knows what interference is?
You know
anymore?
What? This is the NHL's version of pass interference. No one has any idea what it looks like.
Okay, so he was out of the crease. We saw that.
Yep.
It looks like DeBrusque was pushed into the goalie.
No, it doesn't look like it. Slavin pushed him into the goaltender after he left the crease.
So doesn't that seem like that's two bits of evidence
Correct.
That would not be interference?
Absolutely.
And then there was the really weird explanation that came like 10 minutes after it happened. And I think that Doc Emmerich was being fairly sarcastic when in the middle of, I think it was in the middle of a Bruins power play or somebody who was on the power, I bet it was Carolina the power play, kind of a tense moment. Who is that, Olchek that's next to?
Yes.
Eddie Olchek comes in and goes, by the way, we have an explanation about that interference and blah, 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 blah. And he goes, well, thank you for the timely information on that one. We truly appreciate that. And I still couldn't understand why they were calling it. It impeded his ability to do his job?
Yes, that was the explanation. And DeBrusque wouldn't have impeded him if Slavin hadn't pushed him into the goaltender. That was easy to see on replay. I don't get what the NA... What was Toronto looking at? I don't get it at all.
I don't know. But then in an earlier... in another goal that wasn't, there was a pileup in front of the net. And as we said, Williams, who's lost his mind, takes several cheap shots to the back of Backes' head. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So David Backes is lying there, like, to the right of the goal. Remember, there was just, like, a big pile.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't see it, but I saw it in the replays. And Justin Williams goes in and delivers at least two punches right to the back of his head, which is obviously not the best idea, seeing that Backes has had concussion issues that are very well documented. I don't know what the hell Justin Williams was thinking last night, but they've all lost their minds. I mean, the composure on that team, and especially a team that needs to stay composed, because their penalty, if the Bruins go on the power play, what do they shoot? Is it like 55%, I think?
They scored
on the power play
last night. They're close to 50% in this series.
I think it's over 50% that they're scoring on the power play. So they have to play near perfect hockey and not screw up just to stay in the game. Well, here's Bruce Cassidy yesterday on Tuukka's massive performance.
He's been dialed in since April 8th or 10th, whatever it is, since we started. He's been excellent. You know, he really hasn't had a poor night. He's had a couple that were, I'd say, above average, and the rest have been very good. Tonight was first period was excellent. You know, we had a few, you know, maybe a few good sticks in there to clear some pucks as well on some rebounds. And but at the end of the day, he was excellent. It was a difference in the first period.
And Tuukka Rask was asked, "What is it like to be in the zone?" And he didn't really know what you're talking about.
Being in the zone, I don't. Nobody knows what that means. You know, it's just, you know, it looks that. But yeah, like the way I usually want to play, I want to play calm and you know, make myself look big and you know, maybe even tough chances, try to, you know, make it look easy, kind of. So it's in the zone, and so be it. But I just try to be focused and, you know, give us a chance.
So Tuukka right there was sharing a podium with Charlie McAvoy. And as you can imagine, because the story of yesterday's game was Tuukka Rask and not Charlie McAvoy, every question ended up being asked to Tuukka. So here's how the interview ended.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming, Chuck.
My mic does work.
Tuukka just, thanks for coming, Chuck. Appreciate it. And Charlie McAvoy's like, hey, I'm right here. See you guys later. Mm-hmm. Is this on, everyone? Well, afterwards, Rob Brind'Amour was being asked a very serious question about the team not being able to score in the power play and giving a very serious answer to that serious question.
You know, you got to score on those. I mean, in the 5-1-3, you got to score. In playoffs, especially, you don't get that many good looks in a game, and that's one where you got to find the back of the net.
Tom, left side.
Oh, you can't hear it there. Oh, we got to get a better clip of that. During the press conference, someone's phone went off playing the Benny Hill theme. It was cranked. Like
what is the name of that song? Because it's got a great name.
Yakety Sax.
Yakety Sax.
Yeah, that's the name of it. And the guy's like phone like goes off like super. I was watching it on NBC, the sports thing afterwards. And it was absolutely cranked. And the first thing I thought was they should have never sent Ty Anderson to Charlotte.
Do you think that he's a huge Benny Hill fan?
Maybe he is.
If only someone didn't have their underwear. If only someone didn't have their underwear up on a clothesline, then there wouldn't be that wouldn't be necessary.
And then here is Dougie Hamilton, who, once again, is coming across as fairly delusional in all this.
I think we had some chances to score. We can score, so a couple mistakes, they score. And I think we dictated the pace of the play, I thought. So we had, I guess, part of the second where we didn't, but they hung in there. And a lot of blocked shots and stuff, a lot of good saves, and that's the result.
And then
he's not delusional. I mean, they completely dominated. When they came out of that first period with nothing, I mean, that game was over.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have you seen it on the other end where the Bruins thoroughly dominate a team, they outshoot them by 2-1 and lose? That's the way it looked to me last night. It was easy. Bruins are going to get a cheap one. They're going to score first after this.
I was going crazy because they finally, at the end of the first period, had chances, the Bruins.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you get one right now, I mean, that's it. I mean, Carolina's done.
I have seen some bad penalties that are questionable, but there were two ghost penalties last night that just didn't happen. There was the DeBrusque, was it hooking that they called him for?
Yeah.
Which was non-existent, like that, yeah. Unless the broadcast just completely missed it. And what they showed us wasn't what they were calling, and it happened, and it was a late whistle, but I saw nothing there. The other one, did Torrey Krug get called for a penalty for getting face-washed by someone else? I mean, because what they showed on TV was him getting pushed in the face and his neck snapping back, and they said, well, that was why he went to the box. Can anyone explain either of those two to me? Because it must have been a situation, at least with Krug, because the DeBrusque one, you saw him for a decent amount of time, where they just didn't show what got him in trouble. Because their explanation was a non-explanation, and the video did not justify it. Am I the only one thinking they got penalized twice for nothing?
I don't know.
Like, it wasn't even questionable.
I don't know.
Nothing.
I do know that the NHL penalties now are much softer than they used to be. I mean, you get guys called for hooking that just the stick is in front of the guy. It barely impedes him, and they'll call hooking on the play. I mean it's like basketball now. You really can't touch anybody as they go to the basket unless your stick or arm is a certain way. It's a lot different than it used to be.
Well, maybe someone saw a nice pair of Hooters and had to start chasing the woman around to Yakety Sack.
Maybe it was.
Benny Hill was the strangest show in the world. because you could always think that you could play with yourself to it because it was after your parents went to bed. But it was, and then he would find like bras and panties on a clothesline and start chasing girls around. And then you would realize that this is not pornography, nor is it in any way, shape, or form funny. I mean, Benny Hill was,
it was
not
just in
funny.
Fast motion.
Yeah, like Benny
imagine
Hill's
going to a taping of that show where everything was in regular motion, not nearly as funny.
I don't think you could go to a taping of a show because it was all in like garbage backyards.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, all he did was chase girls around with his arms out.
And then slapped this poor bald guy on the head a couple of times. That was it. And then
he loved panties on a clothesline.
Yeah.
And he had like an I face all the time. Like, whoa, what?
Like, who found that funny? Like, not like it was offensive or anything. It's just like, why is that funny? He like loved bloomers, they say over there.
It was British.
And then he would get like all like pissed because like he'd be going after like a nice G-string. And then he would just find like a big, large lady's panties.
And then she'd chase him around. He's like, yeah, what are we doing here?
He's like, I don't want you.
Well, one thing of news that does not justify this music. Chris Wagner exited the game with the closing minutes after blocking a slap shot.
Put a chari in.
From Justin Falk. And it looks like it hit his wrist. He spent a couple of minutes on the bench in obvious pain before heading to the room as the agony sax continues. After the game, Wagner was seen getting an x-ray on his arm in a sling. That's obviously not good for the bees, but as you said, Fred, Nola Chari has been cleared to play. Yeah. And they would likely slot him back if he's out there for a while. So the Bruins, they're going to have a chance to clinch the Prince of Wales trophy and not touch it. Oh, no. You do not touch the Prince of Wales trophy. That game tomorrow
Prince
night.
Prince of Wales trophy. That's another thing that the NHL does. That you're like, all right, the Prince of Wales.
Prince of Wales trophy.
The Prince of Wales dominates the ocean.
Yes, as named by the Board of Governors.
That's right.
The Board of Governors hereby decrees.
Thank you, Governor. The game tomorrow night, 8 p.m., right here on 98.5 of Sports on this.
And it, I was very surprised by the amount of Bruin fans in the audience last night. All right, Rich. I'm going to go chase some panties. Hopefully someone's hung them up in the bathroom. But when I'm done with that, what will we talk about?
We're going to talk about something else that's given James Dolan a reason to sing the blues.
Oh, he's got that Zion blues. All right, we will have that for you. But first, headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Nine and five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, when James Dolan and the Knicks lose, we all win.
The third pick goes to the New York Knicks. The second pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies. And that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Just awesome. The front page of the New York Daily News reads, crying for no Zion. And the back page says, sorry, written in little ping pongs. And then underneath it, it says, right in the balls. I prefer the back page to the front page. Well,
by the way, yesterday was the anniversary. I don't know which one of Osama bin Laden.
Yes. I think it was the 8th anniversary.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
8?
Yep. 8, 9,
so somewhere eight, in there. 8th yeah. anniversary of Osama bin Laden.
Well, the number one pick in the draft goes not to the New York Knicks. Oh, no. It goes to the New Orleans Pelicans, a team that had an 86% chance to not get the number one pick. And nobody outside of the higher-ups of the Pelicans and people who, like me, who love chaos are happy about it. Zion Williamson reportedly was quickly whisked out of the room when the Pelicans were announced as the winner because he was pissed, reportedly, that he's no longer going to New York. Anthony Davis isn't happy because despite common sense saying, hey, maybe Anthony Davis might try to make things work in New Orleans now. Oh, no. This has reportedly not changed his mind, and he still wants to be traded. Oh, how great would it be if Zion told the Pelicans that he refuses to play for them unless they trade him? Like, it's almost like an Eli Manning type of deal.
I don't know, man.
How awesome would that be? I saw somebody say something that made way too much sense last night. Like, imagine if Kevin Durant decided to go to New Orleans. Like, you would have Drew Holiday, you'd have Anthony Davis, you'd have Zion Williamson, and Kevin Durant. How great would that team be?
What makes you think Durant wants to play in New Orleans?
He doesn't, but it would make too much sense if he just did that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be better than going to the Knicks with Kyrie Irving and then a bunch of question marks?
It would. The only thing this does, the fact that New Orleans got the number one pick, is make the asking price for Davis higher because New Orleans could put together a plausible. You know what? We don't care what Anthony Davis is going to say. Drew Holiday is a borderline all-star who's in the top five in the league in assists and the top 10 in the league in steals, averages 20 points a game. We're going to put him, Zion, and Davis out on the floor. That'll make us competitive in the West.
Or they could trade Zion Williams for stars and then tell Davis, well, this is what we got.
Or they could trade Davis and Holiday for a massive amount of players and picks and build around Zion. I mean, this puts New Orleans in the driver's seat.
Oh, and it's so great, too, because you now have the Knicks with the third pick and the Lakers in the fourth pick, and both of them trying to use that pick to battle in order to get a trade for Anthony Davis. They're both going to be doing full court press in order to try to make it work. And from everything that we've heard, and we had Jeff Goodman on yesterday, this is not a good draft outside of maybe the top two. Like, a matter of fact,
depends on what you think. It depends on what you think about Barrett. I like Barrett. I know, Fred, you don't. So, at max, it's a three-player draft.
But some people are saying they like Barrett better than Zion Williamson.
So, it's a three-player draft, which means the Lakers in particular are screwed.
I think it was Ben Rohrbach of Yahoo who I saw tweet. He said, quote, very much looking forward to Zion Williamson following in the footsteps of the New Orleans basketball greats and requesting a trade in 2025. but think about that. Like, I mean, if you honestly wanted to win, don't you think, like, if you're Kevin Durant, how cool would that be? I actually think it would be great for the league if all of a sudden New Orleans was a powerhouse. And you'd have to make Anthony Davis sit there and, like, eat crap for saying that you wanted to trade, and now all of a sudden everyone wants to come to New Orleans. I mean, it just makes too much sense to be a superstar player and go and not want to play with these guys.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen. And so what does all this chaos mean for the Celtics? Well, first of all, they get the number 14 pick as a result of last night. The Grizzlies pick, which is good, rolls over for another year, and the Knicks and the Lakers don't get Zion. So that obviously is a good thing. The negative side is that the Kings pick stayed put. The Lakers did vault from number 11 to number 4, and the Pelicans getting Zion, I mean, could give them a shot and possibly, you know, keep Anthony Davis. So that means that there's less of a chance now that, as you said, the price has just gotten higher for the Celtics.
Yeah, it's
if you want to get him.
And you're going to have to trade Tatum to get him.
Well, I mean, that's been my belief this entire time, that there was no trade that they could put together that didn't have Jason.
This erases all doubts.
Yeah, this erases all doubts.
You absolutely have to trade Tatum to get Davis.
According to Jeff
Goodman,
he's the future Hall of Famer.
He said could be.
Eye roll.
It's going to be fascinating to see what New Orleans does from here and what the new price tag is going to be.
It just, if anything, New Orleans now is going to be on television.
Yes.
I mean,
we don't know that. I mean, well, I guess.
With Zion Williamson, they're going to be on television, regardless of whether Davis is there or not.
I told you that the Knicks, if I was the, I didn't say they shouldn't do it, but if I was the owner of the Knicks, A, I would play a little bit more Delta Blues than what he's doing right now. But no, but B, I would not trade Zion Williamson for Anthony Davis in that. That's a, I mean, you're selling out that building.
So
I mean, people just want to see it.
Well, according to insiders yesterday who cover the Knicks, I saw many of them tweeting before the draft, and then even more so after the draft, that there was a belief that if the Knicks did get Zion Williamson, they were going to trade him for Anthony Davis. And we said that that was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But they were going to do that.
Well, I wouldn't have traded him straight up. I wouldn't trade Anthony Davis straight up for Zion Williamson. I'm not positive Zion Williamson is going to be the best player in this draft. However, if I'm New Orleans, I have a superstar. I mean, the guy's going to come in a superstar. He's already that way. This draft sucks.
The belief was that the Knicks, if they got Anthony Davis in that trade, despite it being, as we all believe, fairly lopsided for a guy you're just essentially getting for 1 year, that would guarantee that you would get Kyrie Irving, and more than likely it would get Kevin Durant. So they thought that that was worth it. It was a trade worth making because getting Anthony Davis there would all but guarantee that you had a big three in New York.
I don't know. Would New Orleans even entertain dropping down to three and taking Barrett?
I mean, no. I would
like in
the Knicks. The Knicks could still trade the third overall pick.
What would they get?
I don't know.
No, it's not enough. I mean,
I agree. It's not enough.
And you know
how else the Celtics got screwed last night? Is that John Morant's not going to go to Memphis, and you may very well get pick 7 or 8 in next year's draft, and not get that unprotected 2021 pick. Memphis tanked, and instead of staying at 8 in a bad draft,
they're
at number 2 and got one of the sure shot superstars.
I just love the fact that this doesn't change Anthony Davis's attitude about the whole thing. I mean, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. I mean, he completely effed himself when he made that, or his agent effed him.
I don't know what his agent's doing and why he's behaving this way. All right, Rich, we'll break, and then what will happen when we come back? I can only imagine.
How about the Red Sox and Chris Sale? You want to talk about like an all-time great performance that ends up going in the crapper because this bullpen sucks.
Oh, it's all about the hardball. We'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I guess
just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That's up. Guards here. Dave, 617-779-0985. Dave, hello.
Gentlemen, I have my call is based on potentially and realistically. Okay, potentially the Celtics 14th pick can be whatever. I watch some ESPN. Jay Billis basically says, and I respect him as an analyst, he's a player, everything. There's nothing after the first three or four.
Yeah.
So realistically, we got poop-shooted. We're going to lose Kyrie. Anthony Davis is not going to come here. The Pelicans got the number one pick. So basically, Trader Danny, this is his first year. I believe we can rag on him because he set us up a failure after losing that number one pick for Kyrie. Who's going to be gone? I want to hear your things, guys. Thank
I can't
you.
Crap on Danny Ainge because no one predicted this happening with Kyrie Irving. No one. I can't go back and look at any kind of person who said this is all going to be a disaster. There's no way this is going to work. Now, maybe at the beginning of this season, there might have been some people who said, all right, there's going to be some tension between these young guys who went to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals and Kyrie Irving, who's going to want to come in here. And boy, we saw it all day yesterday. And later on, we'll play some of that Terry Rozier stuff where I don't know why he's talking.
What is he doing?
I mean, that dude, if there's anybody who's got no right to talk about any of the stuff he was saying yesterday, it's him. How about you not be the worst field goal percentage in the playoffs of the Celtics?
Honest to God, ESPN empowered him.
Before you say a word.
ESPN empowered
good,
him.
Good, I would have too.
We're going to give you, of course.
He was on
ESPN car wash. He did like seven different shows.
And if I'm ESPN, I don't take him off TV the entire day because he kept saying stupid stuff.
I'm not saying ESPN is to blame for this. What I am saying is Terry Rozier got loose. As the day went on, I mean, he started off kind of couching things a little bit, but by the time he got to the Stephen A. Smith show that no one ever listens to, but people watch, you know, he was on fire.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not having any of this. Like, he's in charge of anything.
Yeah, you want to talk about a guy who just has no right to say a word about anything. As a matter of fact, in Game 7 of last year's Eastern Conference Finals, I looked it up. He was 2-for-14, 0-for-10 from 3-point. He had 4 points in that game. 4 points. Also, on top of that, in the playoffs this year, he had a team-worst 32% field goal average.
As I said, it's a weird thing looking at a guest on ESPN and seeing the scroll underneath him average 6 points a game in the playoffs. Casual fans like, what are you doing sitting here again?
Yeah, he doesn't want to be here. I mean, he made it perfectly clear. He does not want to be a Celtic, and you know Kyrie's going to be gone, and good riddance to Terry Rozier. But, I mean, I can't put the blame on Danny Ainge on this one because no one from the beginning, it was perfect. Like, everything was, like, lined up perfectly for it to work, and then Kyrie Irving just ruined it. He ruined it for all of them. He ruined it for everyone. And maybe you could put a little bit of the blame on Brad Stevens. I mean, if you want to give Danny Ainge any kind of crap, you could say that 4 years into this thing, 5 years into this thing, you should have seen that maybe he couldn't handle a big name with a big ego. Maybe. I don't know. Am I the only one who thinks that Danny Ainge, you shouldn't be pointing the finger at him?
No, you're right.
No, I don't know. I mean, it was a misstep by him.
But what was the misstep?
How is he supposed to know that was coming? Especially when Kyrie Irving said he was going to stay at the beginning of the season.
Like, A, how are you supposed to know Gordon Hayward's going to snap his ankle? Because that caused a lot of friction getting him in there, and now these young guys were able to play more and who felt entitled.
I think giving him a max deal was not a good idea.
See, I think you're wrong. I think he deserved a max deal from how he was playing the year before he came here. I mean, he's the definition of a max player, and he was the type of character guy that you wanted in that locker room. He was perfect. He had dealt with Brad Stevens before. Everything was lining up perfectly. So I can't blame him for that.
I agree.
And nobody called him out. Everyone wanted Hayward.
The way he played in Utah, I wanted that guy on my team.
All right. Well, then you had two out of three guys that were marginal max players in Horford and Hayward.
But Horford's played like a guy who deserves that money. So, I mean, He's earned his money.
Hayward's never going to be an A.
And he was the first big star to say, I want to go to Boston, Horford, which kind of broke the dam.
Yeah, Horford, I don't have a problem with. But, I mean, then you gave yourself two marginal, you know, guys that were, that were max guys. By the way, if you're nervous about the Celtics, if you look at the mock draft on Athletic, you're going to get Brandon Clark, a 6'8 redshirt junior from Gonzaga.
Okay. What position is he? Hopefully a point guard.
He's a forward / center.
I saw another mock draft. They had him taking a USC kid, a swingman from USC.
But well, I mean, whatever it is.
It doesn't matter. None of this matters. None of those three picks don't matter. If the Celtics can unload those three picks or take at least one overseas guy as a part of it, great. But I have a hard time believing that anybody they choose at 14, 20, and 22 is going to come here and make a significant dent in the rotation.
Keldon Johnson to go with the 6'8 kid, a 6'6 wing from Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
They wonder about his skill athleticism combination right now. He's not an elite athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that. Bol Bol going 21.
See, Bol Bol, I think, is going to be a good player.
I would hope the Celtics would take that guy.
See, Bol Bol's going to stay healthy for two games, and he's out for the rest.
If they took Bol Bol, that would make me tune in if I was a casual fan.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
do you take Bol Bol at 14? I think you take Bol Bol at 14.
Hell yes, you do.
Yeah.
Bol Bol. Yes, you do.
Well, they have him at 21. See, I thought he was a top 10.
He averaged 25 points a game before he got hurt at Oregon, right?
Yeah, but he's like one of those tall guys whose body's going to fall apart.
And all the more reason to watch. a tall guy who, by the way, shoots threes, Bol Bol.
No, if he comes to the Celtics, he might be your best three-point shooter. I'm not lying.
Is that kind of his... I haven't paid enough attention to his game. I've only seen like a couple times. His highlight reel is great.
And it's like unbelievable three-point shooter.
Yeah, he's 7 feet. He's not quite as tall as his dad. He's 7 feet tall, but he shoots threes.
How awesome is it when a 7-foot tall guy can just nail three-pointers? Because doesn't look right.
Well, that's the league now. And then Carson Edwards, a 6-foot combo guard, junior from Purdue. You could get him as well. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines. And then we meet a man I did a lot of research on last night, or yesterday during lunch, because he's fascinating.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.